This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Everybody, Alan Ellis here, the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors, and we're going to talk a little bit about both and take your phone calls, and we're glad to do so. I walked in this morning, and I'm talking to Brian, the producer, and I'm, you know, putting my stuff down on my little space here and watching TV for a second, and excuse me, haven't had any coffee yet. And I happened to see a little flicker of motion. And goodness gravy, there's that E.W. Grimes waiting for me in camo. E.W., good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Al.
You're very stealthy.
Oh, yeah, you got to be. You know, that's how we manage our deer. You got to be smarter than the animals around you. And we just tricked you when you come walking in here, so...
Very much so. Well, you were crouched down behind the computer, you know, and about ready to pop out like a jack-in-the-box and scare me. But very well done. Thank you. I'm usually, 5 in the morning, I'm usually not that alert. But anyway, welcome.
Welcome.
President of the Maryland Chapter Quality Deer Management Association, QDMA. Okay, you can tell me why you're here and then get out. I mean, tell me why you're here and then we'll go, and we'll go from there.
Well, we got an awesome shoot coming up next weekend.
And a 3D shoot.
A 3D shoot. And this thing has really exploded over the last 4 years that we've had it. We will have over 60% of the participants will be youth hunters. And thankful for our sponsors. We have done it for 4 years now. The youth don't pay it anything to enter the shoot, and we all walk away with something. And just, you know, the youth is our future hunting source and managers. So we're real tickled about that. But it's in Mayberry this year. The last 2 years now, and it's been will be in Mayberry. We want to try to move it around every couple of years, move it around the state, hopefully get more people involved with it. But
where is it this year?
It's in Mayberry in Carroll County.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
okay.
It's close hop. So this will be our second year there. We'll be 30 targets. It's a Hunter's Challenge 3D. It's not an IBO shoot. It's not a whole bunch of rules and regulations and stuff like that, although we do – require hunting bows only, no broadheads, obviously.
Right.
And it'll be 30 targets. Everything will be inside of 30 yards. And it's a hunting situation. We put it, you know, a little bit more of a twist on the challenge of the targets, and everybody through the years have had a great time.
That sounds like fun.
It is. It's all about being fun, and it's no moneymaker for us at all. The only people that pay to get in is the adults. And we paid the money back to the adults, 95% cash back to the prizes and stuff.
You just basically do this as a fun thing, get together, camaraderie, and promote the organization, hopefully pick up a few members.
Absolutely. And the biggest, probably the biggest and most, is we wanted to target the guys that are backyard shooters, the guys that have their targets in their backyards. And we wanted to bring them out and say, hey, come on out and get the camaraderie going. And you would be surprised how some of the, quote, professional 3D shooters actually come out and look at some of our challenging shoots, and they're just blown away.
These are the guys that go out and compete
on a regular basis.
Yeah, all over the place on 3D shoots.
And we have a great time. And it's, like I say, and then shot placement with the youth.
Yeah.
We go over that as part of an educational source. We talk about it, and I'll be honest with you, some of those youth shooters are awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Dumb guys and gals.
I mean, yeah.
We have probably 30% are female youth shooters, and
cool.
they do an awesome job, and I'm real pleased with it, and we'd like to get it, you know, kick it up a notch and let it keep growing. It's been growing over the years, and hope it continues to grow.
What time does it start?
It actually starts at 7 in the morning. It's a mandatory meeting. It's at 7:30 that you have to be there for it, and
right.
Then we'll go over the rules. And If you're going to shoot.
Okay.
We will not turn anybody away. If you come late, we will talk to you off to the side and do the rule thing and all that. Walk-ins are welcome. We really like to have a pre-registration to it, but, with the way things are last minute and stuff, we won't turn anybody away.
I got you. Okay. Cool. How do they get in touch with you?
Well, the website's the best way, and all the rules are spelled out on MarylandQDMA.com.
Maryland is spelled out?
Maryland is spelled out.
Okay.
And,
QDMA, Quality Deer Management Association.com.
.com, yes. Yeah. Okay. That's the best, and that has all the contacts and stuff.
Okay. What if they don't have a computer? What if they want to call somebody?
Well, then they can call me at 410-984-3356.
984-3356. 410-984-3356.
Yep.
And kids are welcome. It's best if the kids do have shooting experience.
Oh, yes, absolutely. We would prefer that, and we'd like to have the parent come along. And have them even if they don't shoot, they can tag along and watch and all that. And you'd be surprised when even the parents get a little camaraderie going there, and then all of a sudden they say, "Hey, this ain't a bad idea. Let's get our kids out shooting."
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Sure, sounds good.
Yeah,
sounds good. Now, you say the kids don't pay anything. Are the kids sponsored?
Absolutely. And that's one of the things I want to first off say thank you very much to all of our sponsors, including yourself. The kids are formed into a team. Three kids to five kids form a team. And then that team actually wins a prize, so you get the camaraderie of team effort along with individual stuff. And the prizes and all of our awards and stuff like that are all donated. MBS, the Maryland Bowhunter Society, every year gives us some financial support and helps out with that. And then Bass Pro Shops gives us some nice prizes. When I leave here, I'm actually going to be down at Bass Pro Shop this morning and this afternoon and doing some seminars and having a display set up as well. So,
and our frequent guest here, Tracy Groves, is also going to be down there doing some seminars.
Tracy probably will be at our 3D shoot, too. He tries to attend. I don't know if he's going to come this year or not. Haven't talked to him. I guess I will today. But
Went out to Beachmont camp out there in Harford County the other night, and supported Tracy in a seminar. He had a very good seminar about what what hunters do to mess up their chances. What they don't attend to. And what they actively do that can decrease their chances of success. And it was pretty interesting. There were probably 30 some people there, and want to thank those folks. Higher Calling Hunting Team with John Akerst in the group. And it was every month, first Monday of the month, I believe, there's a seminar there. And it's always a good time. So,
yes.
Well, good. So you want to repeat your phone number?
Yep. It's my personal cell phone. It's 410-984-3356 if you don't have a computer or to get contact that way. We would prefer to go through the computer. With the website, which is Maryland spelled out, QDMA.com.
Right.
And that has all the information, including the entry form and all that stuff. You can email it right in, and our computer whiz that takes care of that, Barry, can calculate everything and have everything pre-ready before we get there.
So. Yeah, good guy.
Yep.
Barry does our website for the Maryland Loves Crabs and for the Maryland Hunting Quarterly. So. Which you got a copy of.
Yep.
Sounds good. All right. We got Frank and Easton on the line. Good morning, Frank. How are you?
Good morning, Alan. How are you doing, sir?
Good, buddy. What's up?
And to the QDM guy, I forgot his name. I'm sorry.
EW.
First of all, inspirationalarcher.com, everybody. You got to see this. It's a gentleman by the name of Matt Stoltz.
Yep.
Stoltzman. Have you seen him?
Yep.
He was on CNN last night. He's an armless archer.
Yep, I see him,
too. I'm a friend of his sister who works at the Walmart down here in Easton.
Seriously?
Yes. If you saw CNN last night, you heard him say that Matt was adopted when he was 4 months old. Well, him and his two sisters all were separated. And they recently, in the last 2 months or so, found one another on Facebook.
Oh, that's wild.
The Olympics are what's getting in the way of them all being reunited.
Yeah.
But how interesting to listen to this man last night with all his challenges and to be so positive and to tackle something so difficult.
Indeed.
You know? You and I know how hard it is to shoot a bow under normal circumstances.
Correct.
So you all were talking archery, and I just...
Yeah, well, that's... I'm glad you checked in with that, Frank. InspirationalArcher.com?
Yes, it is.
Cool. We'll check that out.
I guess you could Google CNN and watch the segment from...
I'm sure we could, yeah. Yeah, very good. All right, man.
But anyway, just wanted to pass that along.
Frank, by the way, have you heard who the pick is for vice president?
Oh, this is a joke, is it not?
No. No, they're going to announce today at 9 o'clock in Norfolk, Virginia.
No, I'm not really a political person, Al.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
I can relate to that.
Well, you guys need to pay attention to this. The name of Paul Ryan has risen to the top. Actually, Associated Press is reporting that Romney has chosen Paul Ryan, who is for his vice presidential pick. And the significance to our listeners here and to sportsmen is that Paul is a very avid and influential sportsman. He's actually been the co-chair for the House of Representatives for the Congressional Sportsman's Foundation. He is a dyed-in-the-wool bow hunter. He loves to hunt. He is on the sportsman side on every issue. So with the challenges that we may face coming up here with the Second Amendment and hunting rights and the Farm Bill and everything else, I'm thinking that Paul Ryan is probably the best choice for sportsmen.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah.
Well, you got me sitting up and you got me taking notice, Al.
All right, buddy. Well, pay attention on this one.
I will.
Thanks, Frank.
Always good talking to you, Al.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, I've had the occasion to meet Representative Ryan in a number of situations, and you know, on trap and skeet shoots and sporting clays, I've met him, and I've met him on at different events that he's attended when I was in Washington, working in Washington, and a very personable guy, and very, very, very avid bow hunter, great family man, loves to deer hunt, so. That should be near and dear to your heart there,
absolutely.
EW. So
absolutely.
The presidential election is even more important. So, hey, we want to tell you about a couple of things here. We announced one of our diamond jimfish was caught, an imposter was caught last week when Marty Gary was here. And today, diamond jim number two, striped bass, was caught by Mr. Gary Condren of Jacksonville, Florida. Now, Mr. Condren was here in Maryland on a business trip. He went fishing with Davis Emery of Towson, Maryland, and others on the 24th of July. The party took an afternoon trip aboard the Captain Tillman Helmsley's charter boat, breezing through out of Kentmore Marina. And Sherman Helmsley is a good friend of my accountant and the artist that actually designed the Waterman statue on Kent Island, if anybody's been down there and seen that. It's pretty cool, and Sherman is also a painter. He's painted some pretty interesting stuff. But anyway, they headed southwest when they came out of Kentmore. They saw some birds diving out on the eastern side of the main shipping channel. Captain brought the boat to the diving birds, and the group rigged up with live spot on treble hooks. They cast into the breaking fish on the surface. They got two active rounds of breaking fish, and it was the second round of breakers that Mr. Condren caught a striped bass that measured 22.75 inches with a 2012 green diamond jim tag number 0526 in its side. Now, the captain of the mate, Kathy, saw the tag first and instructed the others not to remove the tag. It could be diamond jim. Thank God we've got a charter boat that knows what's going on. Mr. Condren did not understand what was going on, so the captain explained in more detail. After the trip, the fish was frozen with the tag in place, and a DNR biologist inspected the fish on the Monday, or whatever evening, the 25th. The fish was in good health. The tag was intact in good condition. The tag was verified. Davis Emery was interviewed because Mr. Condren had flown back to Florida the next day after the fishing trip. The fish measured, again, 22.75 inches. Matches up with a fish that was tagged by DNR biologists on May 24th. And the interview was finished by talking to Mr. Emery. Mr. Emery offered to take a polygraph in the capacity of a witness to catch for Mr. Condren because Mr. Condren is scheduled to have back surgery and not be able to fly up and take a polygraph. Mr. Emery passed a polygraph. Mr. Conrad's fish will be certified as an imposter for Diamond Jim worth a minimum of $500 if the real Diamond Jim is not caught. Mr. Conran would split, I don't know why it says she, but it says would split the $25,000 top prize with any other anglers who caught certified imposter Diamond Jim tag fish. So there we go. That's what the fishing challenge is all about, and you too could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop, or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center in Garrett County, even a vacation from the World Fishing Network. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish, certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in 80 categories in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast that qualify. Stop by your local fishing citation center. Visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2012 Maryland Fishing Challenge, honoring Maryland's own Lefty Cray and featuring Diamond Jim. Again, that website, www.dnr.maryland.gov. Question is, are you feeling lucky? Well, I hope so. Fish Bones, Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. Just take Mountain Road out there to 4729 Mountain Road. You just jump on Route 100, hit Mountain Road, head towards Gibson Island. 2.5 miles on the right is Fish Bones, Bait and Tackle. All the fresh live bait you could need, want, or imagine. There's plenty of things like alewives and soft crabs and peelers and razor clams for fishing and crabbing. All the great advice on how to rig up the tackle, the crabbing supplies, and those great crab steamers, too. Stainless steel crab steamers made right here in Maryland. They've got a basket and a lid. Come in three sizes, half bushel, bushel, bushel and a half. For your great-tasting crabs, it'll be the last crab steamer you ever need to buy. Fish Bones, Bait and Tackle. Again, 4729 Mountain Road. For a great fishing report, give Bud a call at 410-360-0573. Last time I saw Bud a week or so ago, he was up to his elbows in salting bull lips for crab bait. Yeah, I did it all himself. 410-360-0573. Fish Bones, Bait and Tackle.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Don't miss the best of Rush Limbaugh on Rush's Weekend Review every Saturday afternoon from 12 to 3 on the most powerful names in talk, Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
It sits above the mantle on a couple rusty nails, and it's worth a bunch of money, but it damn sure ain't for sale. The good Lord only knows all the stories it could tell. Granddaddy's gun, he bought it new out of the Sears and Roebuck catalog, and it shot a mini shell over the top of an old bird dog. And it backed a burglar down when Grandma took the safety off Granddaddy's gun. It's just a double barrel.
All right, EW, I can relate to Granddaddy's gun. You're not a waterfowl hunter, are you?
No, never have. Been offered a bunch of times from guys on down the shore, and actually Carroll County, because we got some awesome goose hunting and stuff around
there.
Too
smart for you.
Well, I don't know about that. I always brag about being smarter than the animal that you're hunting, but,
wait a minute. You hunt white-tailed deer. That ain't going to happen. I know better than that.
Yeah, my first passion is the deer. I mean, that's...
mine too. I love the waterfowl, but I just wondered the...
I've got a son-in-law now that's big in waterfowl, and he's really been... I've been helping him with his deer, and he's really wanting to get me out. So maybe we'll go that way.
It could be. Well, there's a public meeting coming up for the upcoming waterfowl season. If anybody hasn't seen them, grab a copy of the Maryland Hunting Quarterly, wherever you can find a copy. And it's coming up on August 13th. That's this coming week at Chesapeake College in Y Mills at 7 p.m. you can find the meeting there. We'll just follow the crowd walking in there. What room is it in? I can't remember. But the regulations have been expanded a little bit. We're getting 50 days for migratory geese this year, as opposed to 45 last year. Still two geese, but they've added a few days there in the middle of the season, and they've also increased the limit on diver ducks on bluebills or scop or blackheads, whatever you want to call it, from 2 to 4. And there are also two youth days proposed, November 3rd and February 9th, one at the beginning, one at the end. So you can go online to MarylandHuntingQuarterly.com and see that page, or if you pick up a hard copy, it's in the right inside the inside back cover. Did you ever meet these guys, Wild Mineral?
I don't think so.
Oh, you ought to meet those. You ought to get hooked up with those guys, Jeremy Davis and the crew. They put out a great product, and Wild Mineral is going to be at Clyde Sports Shop next week. We've announced a couple days that they had down there before, and the representatives will be there to explain about deer supplements and deer feed and everything else, and Clyde's is going to be excited to have those guys. And then also today at Clyde Sports Shop, the folks from Codabo are going to be there, Codabo Crossbows. I don't know if Chuck Mistaic is going to be there, the owner. I'm guessing he probably is. But Crossbow Day at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. 242-6108 is Clyde's phone number if you want to get in touch with Clyde and head down there. Any of our listeners are very familiar with Clyde Sports Shop right down there in Lansdowne. But it's today is Codabo Day, so that would be interesting. And you're familiar with Autumn Sky Outfitters, too.
Absolutely.
Gus
Absolutely.
And the guys up
yep.
there, good guys. Really,
awesome guys.
Really good guys. We put a picture in the Hunting Quarterly and gave someone else credit. And I got busted the other day when I was up there, and that's okay. But I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll make sure I correct that on the air so that people know that picture of Mike Cullum and his elk in the Maryland Hunting Quarterly on page 68 came from Autumn Sky Outfitters, longtime elk hunter Mike Cullum. He shot a nice elk with his bow, his PSC bow, in Colorado, and we credited the wrong folks, but it's actually for Autumn Sky Outfitter. Their big sale at Autumn Sky Outfitters is coming up next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for the season. And I'm trying to find their there it is. They're located at Autumn Sky Outfitters in Street, Maryland, right on Route 1, Conowingo Road. If anybody wants any information on that, they can go to AutumnSkyOutfitters.com or give them a call at 410-836-3660. Now, they will be having their big sale Friday, Saturday, Sunday next. A lot of manufacturers are going to be there, manufacturers rep. They're big in waterfowl, too. I don't know if you knew that or not, but for up in Harford County, pretty good stuff, Autumn Sky. All right, 410-922-6680 is our phone number here, 410-922-6680. If you'd like to ask E.W. Grimes any questions about quality deer management and anything else about the 3D shoot, we like to get the kids involved in that next Saturday at Mayberry Archers. If you want to sponsor a kids' team, you can do that too. Remind me when we go out to give you a check, by the way, for that.
Certainly will.
So, we talked a little bit about the Maryland Annual Deer Report, and there is an annual deer report that comes out every year from the Department of Natural Resources. All the numbers, all the charts, all the graphs, and most people look at it and they want to see their name in there if they're, you know, in their Maryland Trophy Deer Contest. But, you know, we're looking at the public hunting areas and, you know, there's a whole pile of stuff in of good information in there. And
you know, hats off to the guys, Brian Eiler and George Timken, guys
yeah.
that put this together, because it is some awesome, awesome information here.
Indeed.
And it breaks it down by county, and that's awesome, because, you know, most of your hunters relate to their area, and their area could be 100 acres. And by breaking it down to county, you can see what's really going on in your county, It's an awesome
and,
report.
You know, it's like politics. All politics is local, you know.
Yep.
And, you know, deer management is local because, you know, a lot of people travel the Eastern Shore or wherever they go to deer hunt, but most guys like to be able to hunt in their own county and find out what's going on in their own county.
Absolutely.
But there's all kinds of charts in here, Sunday hunting charts and, Junior deer harvest, the two-day January firearm season, all broken down in different charts. And I said, which chart is most significant to you of all the charts? And you immediately said, Table 9.
Table 9, yes. The yearling numbers, buck yearling numbers, is a way we measure how the harvest is going. When I say we, I'm QDMA. And it's one of the ways that we actually manage our properties and throughout, you know, all of the United States where QDM is actually doing, and right here in Maryland. And it's a measurable result. I'd like to...
Now, the yearling buck is a year-and-a-half-old deer.
Year-and-a-half-old buck.
Not a fawn of the year.
Not a fawn, and not a two-year-old, not a two-and-a-half-year-old.
But a fawn that was born in 2011 is the focus, correct?
That's correct. All right. That's correct. That's correct. And, you know, it's one of our a measurable commodity. Now, we got to keep in mind when you look at these charts, though, this is deer that is checked in through documentation. In other words, it has gone through the check-in system and all that. And it also is not, and especially like the yearling numbers here, is based on butcher shop numbers.
Right.
So we use these numbers as a minimum. I mean, keep that in mind. It's a minimum.
Oh, because, a lot of guys take their deer hunt,
absolutely,
cut them up.
I mean, absolutely. Know. I mean, if you figure the cost of butchering up a deer, and you know, and we support them guys a whole lot for that, especially with the FHFH and everything like that. But
sure.
You know, it's economical to learn to do your own butchering, and you can really share that experience with your youth hunters and stuff like that.
Why don't you get a deer? Come on in here. We'll do that on the radio someday. I think people would be fascinated by that process if we did it on the radio.
Yeah, you'd have to have some sound effects there to visualize what you get somebody's mind going where they're at. But
no, we're not going to do that, ladies and gentlemen.
Funny you should say
how
that.
How to butcher a deer on the air.
We did do a seminar with Frostburg University, which, by the way, the first in the nation to have an actual branch. Starting the university was in Frostburg, Maryland, and Sherry and I took some deer heads up that we got off of crop damage and actually did the jawbone pulling and all that demonstrations.
Right,
and it was pretty awesome. You know, to pull the section of deer out of your cooler there and take the jawbone out
and that's literally the best way to measure it.
Absolutely, and everybody can do that. You know, you think of jawbones and looking at the teeth as I can't do that. And I hear it all the time at the shows and stuff. And really, once you look at what you have and be able to identify, and that's what we have them posters and everything for.
Yeah,
it's easy. You know, you're looking at one tooth to determine three ages of a deer. One single tooth will actually tell you how old a deer is, or give you an age class.
Yeah.
And, you know, so you'd be surprised, and part of the trophy contest, we have got a lot of guys now that are actually bringing their – when we're down at the expo at the end of the month, and the trophy deer contest is measuring and scoring deer, you'd be surprised how many guys are now bringing their jawbone in and saying, hey, can you age this for me?
No kidding.
And then we'll sit there and we'll say, hey, you know, why don't you age this thing? Well, I can't do that. Well, sure you can. Let me show you how. And that's what we do at these shows. And we'll have people standing in line actually looking. And once they do one or two, I got to have one of them charts.
Yeah.
And we got to start looking at some other stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of times they're amazed how young their trophy is.
Right.
And
right.
then, you know, that all goes into the educational part of it and what we're all about, you know.
Yeah, sure. I was a little disappointed in the guys that checked my grandson's deer last year. They wanted to pull the jawbone. And I said no, because I wasn't sure what we were going to do with the deer. And it really doesn't affect the deer mount, you know, the skull cap and anything else. But I wasn't sure where I was going with that. But they basically said, well, it's at least 3.5. That's all we need.
No, you can't do that.
To me, that was wrong.
That was definitely wrong. And unfortunately, we fall into that scenario a lot. And I hear, oh, the deer is gray. And well, it's old because it's gray.
Not necessarily.
Not at all. I mean, almost 99% of the time you're going to be wrong. The way you really want to look at it, even if you don't, even if you don't know what you're going to do with your deer and you decide to take it to the taxidermist, we was just at the taxidermist convention. Them guys, all you have to do is ask them, say, save my jawbone.
Yeah.
And they will. And matter of fact, a lot of the taxidermist guys are really getting into this agent thing.
Yeah, they're
now
getting into it. Yeah.
And that's good. It's great because now they're telling their guys to bring the deer and tell them, hey, you know, this thing was only 3.5 years old.
Right.
Or wow, this is a really old deer. It's 5.
What do you call a mature buck?
A mature buck, by definition, would be a 2.5-year-old because it has all its adult teeth. However, 3.5-year-old was what I would consider an adult deer. I will not pass a good 3-year-old up in Maryland unless we are in a really protected area where we can really watch
and
them.
And, you know, it's interesting because when you talk about that, you look at a deer. Most people look at a deer and go, how do you know how old it is by looking at it? Well, once you learn what you're looking at, how to identify a year and a half, 2.5, 3.5, 4.5, an older deer.
You know, the key to that I have found, and I have got older guys, a bunch older than myself, and once they start to realize, when they shoot the first antler deer that comes by, and it's a year and a half old, that's all they ever get to see.
Right.
And once they start seeing a 2.5, 3.5, 4.5-year-old deer, then all of a sudden the light bulb comes on and says, wow, I didn't realize there's that much difference in the body structure. And we have a poster on that as well.
Yeah.
It points to the, you know, peak of the rut, right in the rut area, because that's when most of our hunting is done.
Sure.
With the adult deer.
And that's when people see a lot of deer is during the hunting season, the firearm season, where the deer have, you know, they're fully out. They may be in rut or gone through rut, but the body structure is still the same at that point when you
absolutely
see them.
Absolutely.
Early muzzle loader or firearm season, and of course, yep, the bow hunter's in the peak of the rut, you know.
Yep. And bow hunters especially, because, you know, the deer get close.
Sure.
You can actually identify some characteristics, and that's one of the, you know, once you start the whole new aspect of deer hunting is being able to pass that yearling buck up, maybe identify it has a white patch, it has tall socks, white socks on its legs, and then you get to see that deer next year.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, I've killed harvested several bucks that we've had trail camera pictures of at a year and a half old. And then 2.5,
yeah,
and then 3.5, and
yeah,
then 4.5,
yeah,
and then take him at 5.
Yeah.
And you put them all together and put them in the slideshows. Hey, look, this is how he progressed along. And it's
one
it's,
of the most, one of most fascinating displays is that display that as you back above the arcade at Bass Pro Shop. Have you seen that? The antler display where they've,
yes,
taken a captive buck that has been obviously fed and supplemented. But, you know, here he is as a yearling. Here's his shed rack spike. Here's, yeah, 6 points,
you
8
know, the,
point,
the,
10 point, and they just get bigger and more massive and wider.
You know, the
as
cool,
you go.
The really cool part about antlers is the biggest jump. What I get asked the question a lot of times, you know, where does the antlers grow the most? And there's a big jump between a year and a half and 2.5, but there's a huge jump between a 2.5 and a 3.5. When you get to 3.5, you're almost 70% of the antler potential of a deer. Now, if you got a late fawn, this is why I say about, when you ask me about the adult deer being a 3.5, if it's a late fawn, it will catch up at 3.5 and be on a normal. So his antler development is right there.
So now, when you're talking about a late fawn, you're talking about the does that were born that year, born in June or July of that year, or May or June of that year, being ready to breed by January, by the end of the rut. So immature does that are bred, and then they typically have their fawns. They're bred in January. They're bred late. They have their fawns later in the year, which, you know, into July, sometimes August.
Sometimes August.
And those are the ones you're calling late fawns, the
yes
ones you see now that still have spots.
Yes, you could actually give them a year later, and they may be your spike that's only 2 inches of antler up above its head.
Right.
And the reason being is because they're catching up.
Right.
Whereas if you take one that's born in the middle of May, it may be a turning head yearling, maybe an 8-point or even a 6-point or,
right.
Or
you
well developed.
And a half, you get a year and a half old buck with branched antlers, you got potential for some really good bucks.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Really good growth. And to shoot that deer as a 4-point is sad.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing about it is, you know, and I get this question a lot too, is, yeah, but I want to harvest that buck. And I said, well, there's a double-sided antler. You always talk about antlers and big antlers, and we always get confused with being trophy managers. By passing that yearling buck, the biggest point is you're increasing the male participation in the herd.
Right.
And that is huge. And
sure.
Mostly overlooked. When you have more buck, we talked about the late fawns. When you have more bucks in the herd, the breeding sequence seems to tighten up a bunch.
Right.
You may mention of that fawn that reaches the 80 pound, and the 80 pound is the window when it comes into to estrus, and that may be late, in the December, maybe even in the January, when it reaches that, and that's your third and fourth rut, so to speak. We have found with our fetus study that actually some of the big old girls may be a little picky about who they let breed them.
Oh, that's true.
And they fall into that category.
That's true in all aspects.
Well, I wasn't going to bring that up, that's true. People and a lot of guys think, you know, it's all about the bucks, but it's not. It's all about the girls.
All about the girls, and they select their mates. Actually.
And they do. Yeah. I mean, you take that old doe, that old monarch doe in the area that's been bullying the yearling bucks around, and, you know, they actually intimidate them yearlings and 2.5-year-olds and say, you know, they don't want nothing to do with it.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
And they actually, statistically and scientifically, has been proven now in Chesapeake Farms that old doe will leave the area much in the same way as the buck do to find a mate.
Really? That's interesting. We got to take a break. Hold on. I got to tell the folks about some of our great sponsors, including Bay Linex of Glen Burnie with spray-on bedliners, the Linex spray-on bedliners. The only authorized Linex dealer in Glen Burnie, proud to provide outstanding customer service, which they do. Bobby Hawkins, great guy. Just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. Now, Bay Linex offers Linex protection that comes to you. The Linex mobile unit can come to your farm, your business, your job site, and apply the Linex coating that works for whatever you're putting it on to your trailers, your tanks, your equipment, anything that needs protection. Back to the bedliners. Linex bedliners completely seal out rust. They have a durable non-slip finish. They reduce noise and vibration. They resist chemicals and fuels and acids. Linex bedliners protect against impact, and they clean up just like new at your local car wash. And I was with somebody the other day who came out to the truck to get magazines, and I put the tailgate down. He knocked on my tailgate, and he said, "I put this bedliner in everything I have." And I'm like, "Good for you, man. That's great." So Bay Linex now offers the Linex Extra, which is fortified with DuPont Kevlar. It utilizes a paint code to match your liner to your vehicle. So if you have a hot pink vehicle and you want a hot pink bed liner, like does with bows or somebody like that. And they were easy to watch at the show the other day, weren't they?
Will they do tree stands?
I don't know. Yeah, absolutely.
That sound deafening on tree stands could be, there's a couple products out now but I would, if you're going to get your liner put in,
take a tree stand down. Have them spray the base. Absolutely.
That's right. Absolutely. Non-slip.
Yep, non-slip.
There you go.
Very good. Good stuff. See there? It'll also do your felt-soled waders. Seriously.
For real?
Yeah. The felt-soled waders are illegal, so if they spray them with Linex, it's impenetrable. And the rock's not, and the other stuff can't get in there. So, yeah. They'll spray them. Absolutely. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner from Bay Linex at Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A, or Ritchie Highway North right there in Brooklyn. Visit them online at baylinex.com. Give Bobby Hawkins a call, 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Find out how you can receive a $30 Bass Pro Shop gift card from Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. Now, all you got to do is mention the Outdoors and Radio Show or Ellis Outdoors, and they'll take care of that for you. Now, you know, goose season, we briefly touched on that in the public meeting coming up here for the waterfowlers on the 13th at Chesapeake College. But I got to mention our sponsor, Sean Mann, Sean Mann Outdoors. You know, Sean Mann is from the Eastern Shore. He's made a national, worldwide reputation as a designer of the Eastern Shoreman Goose Call. The Eastern Shoreman is extremely easy to operate. It makes all the sounds of a wild goose. It can reproduce all those sounds. It can, you know, do the comeback and the hail call and all that stuff you do, the moans, the whines, and all that. In 1985, Sean Mann not only became the world goose calling champion, but that's when he introduced the Eastern Shoreman and started what's called the long call revolution in the goose hunting world. So you can check it out for yourself. www.seanmann.com, seanmann.com, or call the office, which is right down there in Talbot County, 1-800-345-4539, 800-345-4539. Or log on to seanmann.com, or even stop by your local waterfowl retail store and ask them to show you the full line of Sean Mann calls, the duck calls, the goose calls, the snow goose calls, and everything else. Again, seanmann.com, 800-345-4539. You'll enjoy it. You'll love learning to use that Eastern Shoreman. You know, drive down the road, use your call in your truck. You know, there's no hands-free bracket or anything like that, so you might be in jeopardy, but you will love it. The geese necessarily won't.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
This is Mark Levin inviting you to join me every weeknight from 7 to 9 with the most powerful names in talk, Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring. Bound by wild desire, I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
Hey, we're back. Johnny Cash. Who was the comedian that used to do the thing about Johnny Cash? And was it Phil Hartman? Really? Was he the one that did? Yeah, but back in the day, I mean, there was a comedian that did the thing that said he said I'm not sure. He said I'm listening to Johnny Cash, and he comes on the stage and he goes, "Hello, I'm Johnny Cash," and then he said, "I was watching another show, and a guy come on with the same voice that said, 'Hello, I'm Mr. Ed.'" And he wondered if it was the same guy. I don't know. It's funny, but I don't remember the guy who. I'd like to give credit where credit is due, but, you know, maybe somebody out there can listen. Anybody that has a question for E.W. Grimes and any questions about deer management or whitetail herd here in Maryland, you're certainly welcome to call us at 410-922-6680, 1-800-WCBM-680, 1-800-922-6680. We're talking about the annual deer report from Maryland Department of Natural Resources and some of the we were talking about table number 9 and the yearling bucks. Mm-hmm. What alarms you about table number 9, or does nothing alarm you about table number 9?
Well, I think it's one of the most important charts in the whole thing, because it directly reflects on the harvest of the yearling bucks. And unfortunately, like I said before, you know, this is a minimum, used as a minimum measurement, because these are deer that actually was checked in and then run through the butcher traps, which is only 5% of the total herd. So,
right.
So these numbers are actually minimum.
Well, it's a thumbnail sketch. It's a snapshot. It is.
Yeah. It's the way we do things. And it's the way the process works. So you work within the process.
Right.
Unfortunately, when you have the percentage of yearling bucks, a lot of times that's doing just what you're doing right there. You know, you go, what does that mean?
Right.
Well, what we do is actually convert that over, and part of my seminar is, and put real numbers with that.
Right.
So you take your total antlered harvest, and then you multiply your percentage in there, and that comes up with a number. And shocking enough, a lot of guys don't, you know, when you say 71, let's say we'll take Allegheny right off the top of the chart there.
Right, 79%.
79% of the total antlered harvest is yearling bucks. Okay, let's put a real number on that. When you say 70%, you say 70% of what? Then you got to go back to chart one and figure it all out.
Right,
so,
right.
But what we do is that'd be 1,594 deer that yearling bucks that were harvested in that low percentage in that county. That's a lot of deer.
That is a lot of deer.
And you know, you take
so they're killing their future, basically.
Absolutely,
killing their future.
And
so the higher the number of yearling bucks in the county is. Basically, you're killing your future herd.
Yeah, and QDMA has put out a target several years ago, and they want to get if you get your yearling buck numbers on a voluntary basis, if you can get it around 40%, then you're accomplishing your management goals along with that.
Well, we're looking at Charles County, 44%. I'm looking at Howard County, 42%. I'm looking at Kent County, 41%. Wicomico, 48%. These guys are letting the young deer walk down there.
Absolutely. And you can actually see
that. Kent County primarily because a lot of people in Kent County practice QDM.
Absolutely. And you can pick out now Howard County or Harford County was one of the ones that kind of fluctuate. Now, the alarming thing is of this is on this report, there's four counties in that 40% range.
Yeah.
Last year, there were seven.
Really?
Yeah.
So
in a year's time, we're harvesting that, and that alarms me. However, it may fluctuate over a course of 3 or 4 years and like that.
Economy.
But an economy has to do
with people killing deer to eat, well, and even more so this year because they're good. But kill those does. Don't kill those young does. There's plenty of does.
Target the older does.
The big mature does.
And go that way.
It's all right. We've got to take a call. Wayne Dundalk, good morning.
Oh, good morning. Hi, you there?
I'm waiting. We're listening.
I was listening to you earlier about the Johnny Cash and Mr. Ed voice.
Yeah.
And the guy that did that also did the voice for Francis the Talking Mule with Dennis. I think his name was Dennis O'Connor.
Hey, Way.
Yeah.
I really don't care.
Oh, okay.
Johnny,
I ain't got nothing else to do, and I hear you sometimes say there's no call. So
I appreciate that.
But anyway.
I would make, you know, we had Johnny Cash, and that comedian guy came to mind, but, you know, I was trying to think the name of the comedian that did the deal.
I think he was a hunter and a fisherman also.
Who was?
Alan Rocky Lane.
Rocky Lane. Good for him.
He was a cowboy star, and he was an avid sportsman.
Yeah, okay. Rocky Lane.
Okay, at least I got the sportsman part in there.
Oh, good. That's good, Wayne. Thanks, buddy.
I listen to you every week, man. I've been listening to you for so many years, and, you know, I call you, and it's nothing about sports.
Yeah, that's fine. No problem. Glad to take the call. Appreciate it. Thanks for listening, Wayne. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Talk to Carl in Bowley's Quarters. Morning, Carl. How you doing?
Hey, pretty good, Alan.
How you doing, man? What's going on?
We got lucky. We got number 75 in the lottery this time.
75. Oh, the duck blind lottery.
Yeah, we finally got a decent number. Junior did.
Good for him. Great.
We got a good bluebill spot, so you know the invitation's there.
I appreciate it, buddy. Let's go. I'm ready. Bluebills.
Okay.
If this all holds up, you're allowed four.
Yeah, man. We should have a ball.
Yeah.
We got that spot, and we got another spot, but it looks like it's nothing but howls. We were hoping.
Oh man, are they getting ready over there at the meat shop?
Oh yeah, we're getting ready.
Okay, so Mark's around over there sometimes.
Yeah, he. Matter of fact, he was there one day this week, and power washed the whole place inside, so it's all good and clean.
Good.
You know, we're ready to open on the 7th.
That's good, man. All right, cool. I got to get over there.
And the health, my health is much better this year. I can't wait to get out myself.
Oh, good, Carl. I'm glad to hear that. You're taking care of yourself. That's a good thing.
Well, not really, but yeah. I feel a lot better.
Well, that's good, man.
Hey, Alan, I've made a suggestion to the DNR when I was there. You know, what they ought to do with so many people, they need to cut the lottery back.
What lottery?
The duck lottery. They need to let you only get one spot.
Right.
You know? That would make it a little more fair and a lot more people could get a spot, you know?
Sure. I understand.
and get better spots too.
And what'd they tell you?
They said, "Well, that's an idea." I said, "And raise the price. Make it $100 because that would get rid of a lot of these people that just taking up spots that don't even know if there's house."
Can you imagine? Can you imagine the fallout? Can you imagine the fallout if they raised that to $100? Yeah. Hey, it's an idea.
I ain't going to complain. And that wasn't the consensus of everybody there.
Yeah.
Was, you know, the same thing.
Gotcha.
You know, one spot, $100. That way you get real duck hunters that want to go out.
I gotcha. Cool. Well, yeah, you got a lot of people buying up those blind sites that are anti-hunters. They just buy them up to, or they just scoff them up to keep people out.
Right.
So, all right, brother. Appreciate the call, Carl. I'll be in touch with you.
All right. Talk to you. Hopefully I'll see you up the shop.
You will. Indeed.
All right,
thanks, buddy. Bye-bye. There goes Carl. Just a few minutes here. You going to stick with us the next hour? You got someplace to go?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, cool. Yeah, there's no clocks in here.
I'm looking.
They don't let us have other than one right here.
I see the digital up there.
Oh, yeah, there's one right there. So cool. We're with E.W. Grimes, president of the Maryland chapter of the Quality Deer Management Association, talking about the health of Maryland's deer herd. In one word, Maryland's deer herd.
Healthy.
Yeah, good shape. Managers do a good job. You cannot put out this much information and not know what's going on with the deer herd.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I look at several other different states' annual deer reports, and I got to say, Maryland's one of the top shelf ones.
And that's because we believe in science here in Maryland.
We use science, but I wish we'd use it a little bit more in our management plans,
Politics plays into everything in Maryland. Yep. Unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
Look at the license debacle.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a very interesting report. I haven't had a chance to even look at it. I got it at the show up there in Washington County the other day.
I'm not sure whether they have it on their website yet or not. I don't think it is.
I don't know, but we got to put this out in the next issue of the Maryland Hunting Quarterly, kind of an overall synopsis of this with some of the comments that you've made here. So we got to talk about that. It's 24 pages. I can't publish that whole thing, but there's some highlights there that we could do.
Absolutely.
And some charts. So charts drive Donna crazy, as you know. But anyway, stick with us. We'll talk more about Maryland's deer herd and whatever else comes up. We'll talk more about the Maryland Fishing Challenge, and that's going on right now. DNR's website, www.dnr.maryland.gov, was another diamond jimfish caught and certified. And we'll tell you more about that in the next hour. We also have six tackle shops that have kicked in $1,000 gift cards to anybody that $6,000, and a jewelry shop that's got $4,000 pair of diamond earrings. Zachary Jewelers down in Annapolis has a $10,000.